Welcome to the Watson Weekend. I'm your host, Rick Watson. It's the week after the Super Bowl, Jess. How many absentees were there on Monday?
I don't know. I've heard some staggering stat. It's like 23 million, maybe. I'm Jessica Lisewski. Personally, I'm still thinking about my favorite meme, which was showing that Bad Bunny had more rushing yards than the Patriots carrying the ball down the field. So,
ouch. Too soon. Yeah,
that one was good. It was brutal. It is too soon, but go Seahawks. Right, team won.
Go Hawks. Stories on this week's show. We have Super Bowl ads, the good, the bad, and there is some ugly in there. Target looking for a new CMO, and the old CMO is now the new CMO, but a different M. Huh? Spotify is looking to sell books to compete with Amazon, someone. Sure. And finally, we are looking at Shopify and Amazon earnings.
That's right. The notebook guy is back, and I'm here for the assist.
Love it.
So let's dive into the Super Bowl ads. You know, first of all, there was this interesting blog post from the CEO of Roe who kind of talked about, like, why do you want to spend on the Super Bowl ads? And I thought there were just a couple of cool things to call out here. First of all, it is like one of the last cultural moments that still exist for where people are glued to the TV and they're actually going to see your ad. They're going to talk about your ad. They're going to share your ad. They're going to rank your ad. People play games around the ad. So it really kind of can build that longevity. And I thought this view was pretty cool about when are most people watching the game, because that really equates to what your spend is.
Do most people not watch the fourth quarter? I don't understand this graph.
They gone. It's halftime show and they're out. Especially, I mean, look, you got to put the kids to bed and it is Sunday. Most people do have to work, except for those people who are calling in a little sick.
Seahawks.
Sorry, I've got the Super Bowl flu. That's right. But yeah, I mean, prices, Rick, it was like 233,000 per second. It's pretty nuts. But you know, look, the economics can work, as per the Roe CEO, who candidly had Serena Williams, her husband's on the board, full disclosure. So a little, you know, bit of, you know, insider stuff going on there. But, you know, he's like, look, there is efficiencies that you can gain across the marketing budgets. There's good CAC. So he was like doing a little love letter to the Super Bowl ads and the why behind it.
Yeah, the Roe CEO basically said that the downside is really probably between 1% and 5% of your marketing budget, and the upside is efficiency for the rest of your budget. And so if you have a big budget, that could be a lot of big dollars. So
that's right.
But anyway, blah, blah, boring. Show me the ads.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about the AI ads. Some of these you may have seen, some of these you didn't. And this was first Claude really throwing some shade, you know, get the ads out of our house. You know, we got to protect this house.
It feels like there was a football Super Bowl and then an AI Super Bowl fought in the ads.
That's right. Yeah. And this one was one of several that Claude had, which really just kind of talked about how ads are not going to be in their experience. We know that OpenAI started talking about ads and disclosing ads. So this really was them throwing shade to their competitor and talking about what the experience will be like on the other side.
Yeah. I mean, to be clear, there is no lane on the internet for the fifth best ads business. And so I kind of view these ads as a little bit like sour grapes from Anthropic. Like, we can't have a scaled ad business, so we're going to make fun of yours.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, we'll kind of see. Never say never. We've learned that in this
100%.
World. 100%. So then this one is OpenAI's ad and not ads.
This is confusing, Jess. This is confusing, Jess.
I know. So, you know, again, this is OpenAI had already been doing ads. We talked about those earlier on the show last year. really, which kind of brought the humanity to it. And so this is just another example. This is just a little kid, you know, trying to code some stuff.
I miss pull-up guy. It seems like Anthropic put the kibosh on him now.
They sure did.
You know, like they're trying to channel Steve Jobs here, but the guy putting in the Linux CD into his computer,
CD-ROM.
Like who knows what the hell that even is? And there's like 0.002% of America who knows what that is.
I mean, kids don't even know what CDs are. So talking about a disc that goes in the computer, mind's blown. Like it's
exactly.
Not, yeah. Yeah. So I guess that's the old school, new school.
Yeah.
You can just build things.
Exactly.
So look, we're helping you code, vibe coding. It's a whole thing.
I think Gemini had one too.
I sure did. And Gemini was following, I think, the OpenAI playbook of let's like pull on the heartstrings. We're going to move to this new house. There's a little kid that's got some trepidation. But don't worry, guys. Gemini is there. And we're going to help you realize this vision of your beautiful room, Ben. And Ben doesn't want a boring room. No. He wants the colors to look different. And his mom's like, yes, we can do that. And it's all because of Gemini, guys. And now Ben feels better about his move. And all is right in the world.
I love it. Give us a dog, Gemini. That's what I want.
Yeah. Where are the dogs? Well, that's where Ring came in because apparently they're saving all the dogs.
Yes.
All the lost dogs.
I love it. So those are the ads. I mean, if I had to pick one, I think the Anthropic ones were funniest because it was just so obviously a dunk on someone else, which is kind of like a negative ad, I guess, works in politics. I'm not sure if it works in the Super Bowls, but I did love it.
Yeah, I did. I mean, look, I'm a sucker for the celebs when they all come out, which they know they do. I thought the Duncan play on Good Will Hunting was funny. So there we
go. Love that.
Yeah.
All right. Our next story is Target. CMO, is that you? Is there one out there?
So we don't need one in this house.
Exactly. Target on Tuesday announced a series of executive leadership changes under the new CEO, Michael Fiddelke. Accelerating the company's growth. Of course, they're always going to say that. Carol Sylvester is named the new chief merchandising officer, previously as a chief guest experience officer, which is a little surprising because the guest experience is no bueno in anything. An executive who is also on the team, Lisa Roth, is named the chief operating officer. She was previously the chief marketing officer after being in merchandising her entire career. That's the same thing they did with Rick Gomez before, where he was in a merchandising role for like 20 years. They make him a CMO for a year, and then now he's something else. First of all, Target is like the Roach Motel. You go in, you don't go out. Like, they just shuffle the deck chairs. Second, they seem allergic to a real CMO. To their credit, they did announce finally, after like 4 years, that they're going to do an
external search. Yeah, William White was really the like SVP of marketing. So in 2020, and he's at Walmart now running their playbook.
Isn't he that guy from Breaking Bad?
It sounds like it. Yeah. Does Target think that they don't have a customer problem or a brand problem? Why do they hate CMOs?
It's not clear. I think Target has a merchant heart.
Oh,
and
they do.
They always think they can merchandise their way out of every problem, including the guest experience, which hasn't worked. And so the guest experience officer, who is now the chief merchandising officer, as part of these new roles, they basically say we need to fix our stores. And the problem with the stores is that we're running two businesses inside the store. One is a fulfillment center, and second is the store itself. Like a normal shopper would want to come in and buy something. Call me crazy. And so the guests are the one that's like the third priority in all this. And so they need to fix the stockouts and inventory in the stores. They need to fix the checkout experience and not treat their customers like criminals. They need actual deals that people care about. They need a reason to shop there that's not Walmart, because what can you get at Target that Walmart doesn't already have these days?
It is a big question. And Target used to be so innovative and really set the bar. And they were so early into BOPIS and using the stores as fulfillment. And it really catapulted them to success because the customer could always, or in the guest, and as they call it, can always find what they need. Yeah. Now, like you said, shelves are stocked out. The stores actually look more merchandise like Walmart. The lighting totally changed.
Yeah.
The layout's completely changed. So it does not have that Target experience like it once did.
Yeah.
And now they've been on defense for so long.
Yeah.
It just feels like the cycle of be a CMO, or in this sense, a chief merchandising officer, rise through the ranks, get to that position. Now we're going to shuffle you somewhere else. Like, don't they need some fresh blood in here?
Yeah, they desperately need some fresh blood, or that catapult you talked about, that it could catapult them to new growth. It's going to be like the Wile E. Coyote catapult that will catapult them directly into the ground. Next up, I think we're talking about Spotify.
We are, and talking about bold and innovation, Spotify's here to help the little
guy. Not Shopify.
Oh, yeah.
Spotify.
Spotify.
Everyone
Spotify.
Always mistakes Shopify for Spotify.
Too many fives. So yeah, beginning this spring, they are going to allow premium subscribers in the US and the UK to buy hardcovers and paperback books through their app. And they're partnering with this site, bookshop.org. And the good news story here is they're going to share some of those profits with the little guy, the local independent bookstores. They're going to set the retail price. They hold the inventory. They're going to fulfill the sales. And Spotify just gets some kind of unspecified fee. We don't know.
Unspecified fee. Why the heck are they doing this? What is bookshop.org?
Yeah. I mean, so bookshop.org aggregates all of these independent retailers. Mm. They have physical books. It's sold in this indie bookstore network. Mm. It's beautiful. Okay.
It's so great. I can hear the violins playing.
It does. But this also comes with some cool features, Rick, like page match. So you can sync your physical reading with your audio. I don't know about you. Like, I got to be one or the other here. I'm not like switching different lanes. I'm either reading the book or I'm listening to the book. I can't imagine the percentage of people that this serves. Clearly, they've done their research. But it seems to be interesting, I guess, in terms of what they're going after and like kind of why play in this lane.
Yeah, it seems very strange. The whole organization is funneling 80% of its profit margin back into independent booksellers. Great, but why? Is this a charity? And then second is physical books count for more than 73% of trade publishing revenue. Spotify wants to see, I can't even do it myself.
I know.
Spotify wants a share of this. By the way, even people at Shopify do this, just for the record. It's so funny, actually, sometimes to hear that. This is a strange story. We're still trying to figure it out. If you have any tips for us,
tips at
WatsonWeekly.com. Let us know. Seriously. We're totally lost.
Where we'll leave it with this is, while they're helping out this little guy in the independent book side, indie artists are left hanging. Like Spotify has 70% of their revenue that enters this royalty pool. They distribute payouts based on an artist share of the total platform streams rather than a direct per play rate. So it really yields, like we're talking about pennies that will favor major stars over indie artists. And you guys know we love the indie artist here.
We love Ryle. Huge fan. We had our own house band at the Watson Weekend Live at NRF. The problem is Spotify gives almost nothing back to artists. And so how about taking all this money you're giving to booksellers and giving it to the people that built your business? Just saying.
Hundo P.
As a reminder, the Watson Weekly podcast is sponsored by Miracle. You don't need another tool. What you actually need is a growth partner. The Miracle platform is powering the next era of retail for brands and retailers who are ready to move. Powered by AI and built for what's next. Also, reminder, we have a newsletter here. If you love getting news and insights for us, you'll love our newsletter. Subscribe to it at WatsonWeekly.com. Our next story and final main story of the day, we're going to break down Amazon and Shopify earnings, not Spotify.
That's right, not Spotify, Shopify. Let's start with Amazon because, and this is where I'll be the assistant to the notebook guy in this story. So, look, Amazon, as usual, did stellar from an earnings perspective. And they talked about AWS that's growing 24% year over year. Annualized run rate of, Rick, $142 billion. It's insane. This was the fastest growth of AWS in 13 quarters. You keep thinking that train's going to stop.
No.
And it doesn't. Like it's actually now on like high-speed rail. The AWS revenue backlog is now $244 billion. It's up 40% year over year, 22% quarter over quarter. They have this chips business that's got a $10 billion run
AI
rate.
AI chips.
And speaking of AI, Rufus, any dogs in the house? Well, Rufus is in the house. Over 300 million customers use Rufus in 2025, and it is powering really serious gains in conversion. People who engage with Rufus are 60% more likely to complete a purchase. We're talking about very high intent buyers.
Yeah.
And they're saying that it contributed to $12 billion in incremental annualized sales.
Yeah. It's an interesting question. I mean, how much do you trust these numbers? I mean, 300 million people use Rufus. It's not like these are the same people that had items shipped to their house. Rufus was put in front of them.
Correct.
While they were shopping anyway. And
Rufus
they probably,
was like knocking on your door like, hey, can I help you here? Friends?
Exactly. Probably it's like Clippy. You know, there it's in the results. Look, Amazon is on a tear. The reason why we started with AWS is that the retail business is now an afterthought to Amazon. Totally. And they are such a huge powerhouse in AI and are investing $200 billion, which is more than Google. It's more than Meta. Probably only person is investing more in AI is OpenAI, who has the right. most to catch up. I mean, I think they've raised $2,700 trillion by now, and then they give it to each other in some kind of circle situation.
Right.
But on the retail business, Amazon added actually an interesting thing that I've noticed and is super cool, which is an add to delivery feature. And this add to delivery feature basically means like, oh, I ship something, it's going to arrive tomorrow. If later mm-hmm. on in the day, which happens all the time, who goes back to their Amazon item saying like, I want to ship something else. Well, Amazon right. will send out a new box, which obviously Amazon is already everywhere. So it's just another box on a different truck. Why not put it in the same box? And so this is already 10% of all Amazon Prime volume, which is bonkers. It blew my mind.
It really is, given I'm same with you. I've really started noticing it more maybe in the past like 30 to 45 days.
Yeah.
And to see that level of volume growing, and you've been calling out how impressive their delivery speed
yeah.
is, and they keep
so
getting
faster.
Now. And this is just now another element to that innovation that is going to save them a ton of money, which is what ultimately investors want to hear, because when they hear the AI investment, it gets them a little timid, right? In terms mm-hmm. of what's this going to do to profitability, but they just keep that profitability train running in their delivery speed and the efficiency on the fulfillment side.
Yeah. Something I thought was interesting was that Amazon mentioned that a third of its business in retail is now everyday essentials. And so everyday essentials are basically things that you might find at a grocery store or, you know, a pharmacy. Just as a comparison, Amazon, Walmart's 60% of their business is grocery. And mm-hmm. so Amazon has a long way to run. They've tried
right.
all these stores. They've shut down their fresh stores. Now they say they're going to add 100 Whole Foods stores, which frankly makes sense. They should have done this 10, 15 years ago. But Amazon's way to grow their grocery business is to increase their fulfillment speed. End story. That's their trick.
Right.
And so
yes.
if you could get something in 3 hours and Amazon is going to be there anyway, you might order more groceries from Amazon than you will somewhere else where you have to get out of your house.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just making us lazier.
So
really,
that's Amazon. They had a great quarter. Shopify is a little bit different story. They had great results where they're growing almost 30% a year. They announced guidance in the low 30s for Q1. B2B GMV grew a staggering 96%. Offline retail, meaning POS or point of sale systems, grew 27%. Frankly, I was a little worried about that number, and I have mm-hmm. some more to say about it later. Their international revenue grew 36%, and that's like over like a third of their business now. Shop Pay GMV grew 62%, and now it's Shopify Payments GMV, which is a different thing than Shop Pay and the worst branding move of all time. 68% of, I think, Shopify GMV is Shopify Payments. Their business is growing on a tear. Their gross margins are expanding some. They're generating a lot of free cash flow. They just fired a whole
billion.
Bunch of... We talked about the Shopify Thursday massacre a couple of weeks ago, which definitely, if you haven't seen that video, check it out. I think we'll do one of those YouTube things and we'll point and then the video will
That's
be
right.
over here.
So, they went vegan, guys. Went
exactly.
vegan.
Shopify went vegan. They are basically trying to find their next trick. But the current trick that Shopify has, meaning like, can we grow more and get more payments revenue, is pretty darn good.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Look, revenue hit $11.6 billion, 30% increase. Not many companies are touting that type of growth. Their revenue is now almost 4x what it was in 2020. You know, they are generating cash. Like you said, cash is king.
Yeah.
That cash number is $2 billion in free cash flow for the year, which equates to 10 consecutive quarters of double-digit margins. It's just pretty staggering and impressive to continue to see this growth. What I thought was interesting, Rick, was the market reaction. And I'd love to get your take because, yes, there was some celebratory, okay, way to go. But there's also this trepidation of, well, what's AI going to do to your business? And did you see some of that come through in the Q&A? And then how did like Carly and the team
yeah.
and Toby handle it?
Yeah. I mean, every question was about AI, like 99%
right.
of questions. And really, investors were asking Shopify two things. How much faster Are you going to grow because of AI? And do you have any new products because of AI? Mm-hmm. To the first question, basically Shopify says, we get more money when there's more sales channels. AI is a new sales channel. And as a result, Shopify is going to gain. Shopify was very, very careful at multiple points. I thought, so this was definitely PR coaching and and like getting ahead of the narrative, which Shopify is actually like so good at this.
Yeah.
Saying that Shopify cannot be cut out of the loop of checkout. Meaning like any AI sale go through Shopify checkout. Like I heard Harley say that like three or four times. The other part is analysts are basically asking Shopify like, okay, if AI explodes, how does Shopify benefit? And Shopify, they could have had a better answer. Right now, their answer is like, there'll be more transactions. And that's really the only answer. It's not like we have a new level of Shopify that's like Shopify AI Plus or Sidekick Enterprise. And that's going to add so much recurring revenue. They really have no answer beyond checkout. And like I was writing on LinkedIn and saying Shopify is a one-trick pony. It's the checkout. Stupid. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the answer. Shopify, it's the checkout. Stupid. That's my headline.
Yes. Okay. We'll take it. Yeah. Like you said, very good coaching, having to frame this, knowing that, look, we saw a couple of weeks ago in the markets that just so many SaaS companies tanked because of this AI narrative and what's it going to do? And it's going to make these companies obsolete. And that's really kind of like the scab these investors are picking at is like, will there be more blood or is there actually a strategy here? And I thought Shopify did handle it very well. And look, they probably more than any company are well positioned because of some of the things they've done with OpenAI. The storefront is not necessarily where the future is going. Yeah. Who cares about the landing pages? Who cares about the homepage anymore?
Yeah.
It's like, get in, get out, be efficient. And by the way, thanks Shopify for all of our Shop Pay revenue and GMV.
Right.
We're going to just keep that train running.
Exactly. They're going to keep that running. Shopify, look, it's growing gangbusters. There aren't many people in all of tech that have a better growth story south of like OpenAI and Gemini. Google seems very well positioned. On the earnings call, Shopify basically said, and this was Harley's call out, we want to be positioned for any kind of future with AI. Mm-hmm. Eventually, if the sale is made online, if it's made offline, if it's made in stores, if it's made on an LLM.
Yeah.
All roads lead to the Shopify checkout is really what I'm taking away from it.
Yeah, absolutely. So great wrap up, Rick. As always, your Shopify insights are on point and well tuned. So I'm sure we'll continue to see things unfold. We have no signs that neither Amazon or Shopify will be slowing down. They're on a tear. They're owning the AI narrative, and we'll see how that keeps going.
There's always more next week. But in the meantime, this was a jam-packed episode of the Watson Weekly Weekend Edition. Remember, we're not journalists, but we try to provide news and insights based on our experiences and have a good time at the same time.
That's right. Where else are you going to go to get fresh news and it's fun and punchy?
Exactly.
Right here, guys. So like, subscribe. We're in all of the places where you get your materials. It's the weekend. Stay bold. Stay classy.